All right, Dax, another offseason is upon us. What's the toughest part about being a journeyman in a new city?
Well, Gordo, you know this as well as I do. Being a journeyman in a new city or a city that you're staying in is always difficult. The uncertainty of the future. Are you going to stay? Are you going to go somewhere else? Back in 2020 with Nashville SC, when we had a brand new team, everyone coming to a new city, there was only one person that we trusted to get our real estate needs done. And that's Erin Mishu with Fikes Realty Group. She made everything perfect, flawless, seamless. We had absolutely no issues getting into our house here in Nashville. And all my teammates felt the same way. You can check Erin out at majorleague-realestate.com or give her a call at 615-803-6322.
I almost forgot the name of this show. It's been so long since we've recorded. Gordo was playing Santa Claus. Dax was taking a train down to the Georgia Dome. Is that what it's still? Is that what it's called?
I think it's called Benz.
The Benz. We do have Alan Gordon, everybody's favorite, number one in your hearts, number like 18th on the roster, maybe somewhere in that ballpark, but still on the team, absolutely on the team. And then we have the freshest Georgia peach, Dax McCarty, back joining myself, Daniel Charles Gargan, live from St. Louis, the home of the Western Conference champion, St. Louis City SC. But we're here to talk about the biggest news of the offseason, the biggest offseason signing.
What, that
in Atlanta United's
Moved studios? That's the biggest news?
That Gordo is no longer paying rent at his original studio and has since moved to open windows in Denver without natural light. Gordo, reporting live from your newest studio, how are things in Denver, Colorado? Please give us an update where you're at.
Breathing, dude. It's like that. It's like Punxsutawney, you know, like in Groundhog Day. Phil's just freezing outside. That's me all day. I need a vacation in Georgia, like now.
I thought your answer was actually just breathing, not freezing, which is it's an assessment for January. We're here. We are breathing.
2023 was rough. Was really rough, bro.
2023.
Is that a 5 o'clock shadow with the chin and the stash, or are you trying to do like a little stash thing with that?
No, you know, I think the new like trend is like to grow out your mustache a little bit more than your stubble. So I'm going with it. And it makes my nose a little bit less big if I got some hair under it. So I think, what do you guys think?
Okay, so I was going to ask, this look is intentional.
Completely intentional. I think I look sexy. I like Tom Selleck type of deal. You know,
like a Fred Selleck, more like a Fred Selleck.
you look a little exactly. Yeah, you look a little unkempt, but you know, I like your hair. I think you did like your it? Hair.
The hair's yeah, it looks good. It's back. Hey, 2024 is going to be all different, baby. All different.
I love
nothing
it. Nothing
in 23.
Nothing but positivity, right?
That's me. You know, that's me.
Gordo, I think you got decent facial hair. I think you could rock that. You know what? You have a great mustache too.
Thank you. See, that's what I'm saying, dude. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right, grow it out. Definitely. I don't want it to be stubble.
I mean, people listening, dude, they're just wondering right now. They're going to be jumping on my IG. They're like, what?
What does this guy look like?
How does he look? Holy shit.
Well, I got news for you, pal. I think we're still doing YouTube, so they're going to see it.
Some people.
Yeah, true.
Maybe we get a poll going. Gordo with or without mustache.
That's right. It's not like a mustache. It's like a little deeper stubble.
Yeah, no, I think you're onto something. I've been catching that. I just can't do it.
You can't do it? Your jaw's too big. Your head's too big.
Well, I think it's just my nose. My nose isn't big enough.
Yeah, you gotta have
it's kind of perfect.
You guys are thinking about this all wrong. It has nothing to do with anything physical. It's a state of mind. Rocking a mustache is all mental.
Says the guy that's never had a mustache. That's visible from anywhere other than 6 inches from your face.
I'm so disappointed in you. I grow such a fantastic mustache and I've rocked it very proudly. Hey, and no one has ever been like, oh my God, look at that guy with the mustache. He looks so great. It's more just like, wow, that guy seems really cool because he's got a mustache and he's like very confident.
the actual statement is, does that guy have a mustache? Is there exactly, something on his exactly. face there?
You're going to have that big D energy, dude. You do. I agree with you, Dax. You got
it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like a mindset, you know?
It's the big Dax energy.
That's it.
And that's kind of why I like it as well, because I'm kind of like, you know, at the state of my, like, I don't really like many people anymore. And so like, I love the fact that I know that they're thinking, is that intentional? Is it?
Yeah, that's exactly like, what they're thinking.
Is he doing that on purpose? Is that a joke? You know, like I like that they're thinking that. And so anytime I talk to somebody, especially if I don't like them, you know, which is most people, I'm like, you want to ask, but you won't ask. You won't ask. Ask me, dude. Ask me.
First thought is, this guy's a whiskey drinker and may have just finished his last glass, even though it's 11 a.m.
Always.
Dax, I'll tell you what, man. Me and Gordo were bitching a little bit offline, because we had both purchased Dax McCarty Nashville jerseys, I think in like late November, and they got delivered to our home. And sure enough, you're no longer on Nashville SC. You want to shed a little light on what transpired? I know that, you know, me and Al were connected to you and kind of following along in real time, both during the season and then after the season. So we have a little bit more insight, but I think that from what I've seen publicly, it's been kind of flying under the radar a little bit outside of sure. Alexi Lalas's comments, but for the most part, want to share just a little bit on this process, because I think free agency in MLS is still kind of this taboo, uncertain, really kind of restricted but unrestricted waters that not a lot of people know about, and you just went through it.
Yeah, man. First, I want to say it's great to be back. You know, a lot of people might not think this is a true statement, but I missed your guys' faces. I really did. I was thinking about you guys through the holiday. So yeah, man, we're pretty candid and honest on this show, and you know, I've been open and honest about talking about how much I've loved being in Nashville, how much I've enjoyed playing for the team, how much I've enjoyed just everything about the entire experience, right? And you know, last year I went into the season and I went into it with an open mind. I went into it thinking that if this was my last season, I want to enjoy every moment. I want to enjoy every part of it. I want to go to training every day. I want to have a smile on my face. Even if I wasn't playing as much as I wanted to or as much as I used to, I was just going to try to be the best teammate I could be and the best person I could be and play as well as I could, right? And so as the season wore on, I just felt great. I felt better and better, and my legs were still chugging along. And I was still, you know, in my estimation, playing at a relatively high level. And I was helping the team. I mean, I've always told you guys this. I've told anyone who cares to listen, anyone who I trust in talking about my future in the game. The moment that I feel like I am not contributing to the team in a positive way, in a positive level on the field, that's the moment that I think I should walk away, right? And so last year was, I think, proof of concept to myself that I could still play. And you know, nothing more so than in the League's Cup run, which was just tremendous for the whole city of Nashville, for our supporters, for everybody. We talked about it a ton, right? And so absolutely. I want the Nashville supporters, you know, to know this. And you know, I wavered back and forth about whether or not I wanted to talk about it, because we talked about this off camera a little bit, Dan. I don't want to sound like the bitter ex, you know, the bitter ex-girlfriend or ex-boyfriend to,
well, you know, especially when you're not, like, so
yeah, I'm really not. And I hope it comes off that way, because my respect for the club and my respect for people in the organization, and my teammates, my former teammates, is at such a high level. I just want to be open and honest as possible with the fans who might not understand how everything transpired. Right. And so after the League's Cup final,
Dax, let me cut you off. Yeah, to your point, you absolutely, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, contributed in a massive way. We were calling you the number 10. You had a great run. You guys were the best team in the whatever conference you were. You guys were the East or the West. One of East. Those, right?
Yeah. We're in the East.
And You were such a solid piece on such a great team. And so when I heard this news, I texted you right away. I was like, what? WTF, bro. So I think a lot of people in Nashville are going to be thinking the same thing. They should.
Yeah.
So how did this possibly happen? How did it happen?
How
are you not going to get signed?
Let me preface it by saying, like, there are two sides to every story, right? And everyone's truth is a little bit differently. Okay. So, this is my truth. This is how I interpreted what went down with Nashville SC and how things transpired. But you're right, Gordo. I was at certain times last year, late summer, right? Going into September, October, I was like 95, 96, 97% positive that like I was going to be signing a new deal with Nashville SC for another season and hoping to continue to contribute here and play for this team. After Leagues Cup final, you know, the club had approached me and they were, I think, trying to plan what they wanted to do. And they had asked me what my plans were. And I said, look, I feel good. I feel like I'm still contributing at a good level with the team. And, you know, I love the game. I love the club. I love the city. I would love to continue playing if that's what you guys see. Right. And there was alignment there in what we both wanted. And so the club made me a contract offer and it was lower. I spoken to my representation and I said, look, guys, I've taken pay cuts 2 years in a row. I feel like I'm on a relatively team friendly contract. I would like to not have to take another pay cut if possible. And so that was where the conversation starting started point. With my representation. Yeah. Right. And so,
which is not astronomical at this point anyway, right?
Yeah, it's not right. And so that was kind of what my mindset going into it was. Right. And so the team made me an offer and it wasn't disrespectful. It was another pay cut, but it was one where I could look at it and say, all right, there's probably a deal here. Like we can probably come to a reasonable agreement here. Right. And so the way that everything transpired was just pretty strange, guys. I have to say it felt like just a weird miscommunication of sorts. But you know, we went back and forth. And so my camp, we said, okay, well, here's our counter offer. And the club said, well, we don't think we can do that. Okay. I'll come down again. Here's another counter. I'll counter myself, you know? So here's another counter offer. And then it was like, okay, well, it was very,
sounds like always the Players Association dealing with the league.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It was all from their, from their side. It was all very vague.
No. Okay, fine. Yeah. How about this one? Yeah.
Okay. We'll do it. We'll come down again. And so it was all the responses I got, it was all kind of vague and kind of like, okay, well, we'll see what we can do, this, that, and the other. And then, you know, I was still playing and I was still focusing on playing well and trying to help the team. And it was kind of in the back of my head. And meanwhile, I'm sitting there, my teammates are asking me what's going on. They're like, hey man, what's the deal? Are you going to resign? And I'm like, yeah, we're close. Like it's for sure going to get done. No question about it. And so as we get closer to the playoffs, I think there was, you know, kind of a mutual agreement, that we would just wait and figure things out when the season was over. And then the season ended in a really disappointing fashion. You know, I've talked about it. I felt like I played my worst game of the season, at the end of the year in the playoffs against Orlando City. I just felt really bad about how everything ended. Right. And then, you know, you wait till the end of the season and then all of a sudden it's like, well, hey man, like we're moving on. Right. And I said, well, what about the negotiation we were in? I thought we were in a negotiation and apparently we weren't. Right. And so that's where, that for me, it just felt like the communication between both parties, right? It probably could have been clearer. It probably could have been more concise. And my only thing was that, like, from Nashville SC's perspective, if they didn't want to go from their initial offer, if they didn't want to go any higher than that, the only thing that I guess doesn't sit so well with me is the fact that, like, they never really gave me or communicated a best and final offer to me or, like, a deadline for when they needed to know by. And so I look at that and I think, man, things could have like gone very differently if the communication was just a little bit different. Right. And so, that's my truth. That's how I interpreted what went down. Right. That's exactly what happened in my estimation. And at the end of the day, guys, you know, as well as I do, when you're an older player, you know, when you're on 1 year contracts and when you've been at a club for a decent amount of time, like there's always someone looking to replace you. There's always teams are always looking to get younger. Teams are always looking for the next, right, young, maybe homegrown signing or maybe young European player or player from within the league that might be able to come in and give the team a boost. And if it was my number that was going to be called to be on the way out, then, you know, I have no problems with that. Right. Like, I just think the communication could have been a little clearer, could have been a little better. And so for Nashville fans, from their perspective, just know that, like, in the middle of last year, my first choice was always to come back. Right. And sometimes these things happen. Like it was disappointing the first couple of days and the first weeks after everything went down, but then you go into free agency, right? And you start to get excited about what other prospects are out there. And so, a difficult way to end my time with Nashville SC, but I want the overriding sentiment to be how grateful I am to everyone in that organization for bringing my family to a wonderful city, a city that I didn't know much about, a city that I think a lot of people questioned whether they could actually house a successful soccer team. And you look at our training facility, or you look at the training facility, you look at Geodis Park, and you look at 30,000 supporters who are passionate and care deeply about the team every time they play there. It is no doubt in my mind that this has been an unbelievable success the first 4 years of Nashville SC's history. And I'm really proud that I was a part of that. I'm really proud that I can say I was the first captain in Nashville SC's history. And so I just want people to know, like, if they're pissed at me for going to a rival in Atlanta United, like, there's no hard feelings there. Like, it wasn't like I was like,
is that really a rivalry?
I think so. I think it is. I mean, anytime you're in the South,
it's not a rivalry.
It's more of
it's made up. Dude. It's BS.
Let me rephrase. I think it's more of a derby because it is close. More of a derby, a rivalry. I think Nashville SC probably has more of a rivalry with like a Cincinnati or an Orlando City, right? Because those have been a little bit more intense on the field. But look, Atlanta United, first game ever against Nashville SC, 65,000 people at Nissan Stadium, right? Like, I'll never forget that game, even though we lost. Like, there's just some history there. And look, I think it's always tough for fans to really know exactly what went down. And for me, I always wanted to be open and honest about what happened without sounding bitter, without being angry about it, because it's a little disappointing how it went down. But at the end of the day, this is soccer, guys. This is business. This is ultimately how things work in this industry. And this isn't my first rodeo, right? Like, I've been through this numerous times. And so you take it on the chin. And now I get to go to a club that I think is one of the top five best clubs in the league, right? And so there's always light at the end of the tunnel. It's a little bittersweet. My family loves Nashville, but obviously we have a new journey. And, you know, Dan, you know a lot about Atlanta.
I know. Yeah, I know. I know a lot about Atlanta. I love Atlanta. I love Nashville too, but I do love Atlanta. Atlanta was a city that I spent a fair amount of time in. But before we move to Atlanta, I want to ask, Gordo, you've been through moving from teams. I've been through moving from teams. It's very rare. I almost actually moved out of the Galaxy after we won a championship, which doesn't happen all that often when you end with a win and still potentially move. Usually you're ending in the way that you described, Dax, with being an emotional exit, which is always extremely deflating, to put it at its absolute mildest, right? Sure. Like, you're broken at the end of a season, mentally, emotionally, physically. Do you feel like, looking back on it, that maybe was the determining factor in why you ultimately didn't re-sign with Nashville? Because we've kind of gone through this and going through it with you, having contracts out there, really not being that far away from a number. And then the way that you crash out of the playoffs with the expectations that were on Nashville, because in a lot of ways, you guys were at points in the season, the best team in the league and playing some of the best football in the league. And then it ends the way that it does, which disappoints everybody, yourself included. Do you feel like maybe there was, I can speak to this, or Gordo, you can chime in if you want to, but I feel like it almost is a little bit of a rush to a decision after an emotional exit. And you commented on something about wanting to get younger, wanting to do all that. We talked a little bit about this, you know, a few weeks ago, which for me, unless you're a Philadelphia Union or an FC Dallas that has this bold, robust academy where you are consistently playing younger players and giving them minutes, I still think it's total bullshit to get rid of a player like yourself for an unknown, unproven commodity when we're not talking about astronomical numbers. We're talking about, can Dax come back and play at a number and give us 25 games from one of the most accomplished players in the league? Or should we just get rid of him because we lost the last playoff game? And it's mind-boggling to me, because all these guys that are in these positions that are making decisions for today should be making decisions for today because they're all in positions to get fired. They're every single one of them. And it just doesn't add up to me. Gordo, you've been through some of this departure or some
let
of
me,
departures.
Let me, Gordo, before you jump in on that, because I do think your insight is valuable. Dan, it's hard to say. And it felt like that at first, that like it was almost like all right, well, we crashed out in the playoffs. We had a really disappointing end to the season. Like, we need to make a change, right? We need to change everything because, like, let's say we go on a run and we make MLS Cup or we make it the Eastern Conference Final. It feels like, all right, well, we're close. With like, we might just be one piece away. Let's keep the group together and see if we can go on another run. But the way we ended the season was super disappointing, right? And not just the last game against Orlando. We were a little inconsistent for a month or two, right? Towards the end of the season. So I don't
know. But you're also you're one of two teams, two clubs that played in the significant stretch that you guys did in Leagues Cup to get through that summer stretch and playing some of your best football, probably some of the most emotional games that you played at Geodis Park in front of your fans against Messi. And then, by the way, injuries happen and you guys don't have it at the end. Like, shocker. Was it?
Yeah. I mean,
maybe it wasn't shocking to everybody else, but it seems pretty obvious.
Miami, right?
It seems pretty obvious upon further review when you get there. It's like, of course it did.
It's hard to know, Dan. And I'll say it's hard to know exactly what went into the process. It's hard to even know the timeline, right? Like when I counter offered Nashville SC and they were like, well, maybe in their eyes, they were like, look, that's we're not even close to a deal. And maybe they in their head said, well, we have to move on now. Right. And they didn't let me know because they wanted me to stay focused on the season. Who really knows like how things went down on their end? But sure. If my gut tells me that the last game of the season, it really didn't have that big of an impact on what they decided to do to move on from me. But it's hard to say. Never know. Gordo?
Yeah. I mean, I think it seems emotional for me just because of what I said. I thought I was really proud, to be watching you. And it sucks because I like Nashville a lot better than I like Atlanta. And now I got to like try to be an Atlanta fan. that sucks. It just seems emotional because when you guys are doing, this is the only reason, and it's just like, what happened, right? They said, hey, we're going to sign you back when you guys were hot and when you're playing great. And then you guys go on a skid and then you're the guy, what do they call it? The black sheep, right?
You're
the black sheep. Yeah. You're the scapegoat. Right. And it sucks. What did I say? A black sheep.
You did.
Anyways, so
as a ginger,
I'm
always ostracized, right? Gingers are always kind of the black sheep.
It's a farm animal. But I think that does suck. It happens to everybody. Age always outweighs production, dude. And you produced, and it's just the way it is, dude.
And the thing is, Gordo, you're right, and it sucks, but that is the way sports work, and I understand that, right? Like there's no magic potion there's probably a magic shot you could take that would make you feel and look a lot better, right?
I got a couple of them right in here.
There you go. But I'm not doing any of that, okay? So I'm aging like a normal 36-year-old, even though I feel great, I feel fit. I played 34 games last year. So to a certain extent, you're right. But like, let's be honest, guys, every team is looking to get younger. Like that's just a fact. Right. And it's funny because that can be a good transition into the free agency stuff with Atlanta, because that was something I heard throughout the free agency process, right? Is like every team is just looking to get younger and they're looking, and I don't blame teams, right? Because it is very hard to trust someone, even with my injury history, which knock on wood has been really good. And I've been very fit for most of my career. But it's hard to trust guys that get up into their upper 30s, even their mid 30s, right? And it's hard to trust them to play big minutes and to commit to them fully, right? And so I totally understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Atlanta.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Gordo. What do you got?
I was just going to say, Dax, I know how much we all know, everybody knows, because you said it over and over and over, you're broken record, how much you love Nashville. I know this is a tough move for you. And I think you're handling it with class, like a veteran. I just want to say that out loud. I think you take a week, and you're like, but you've been through it before, dude. I think you're handling it with class. I think where you're coming, Gargs, not to put words in your mouth, I want to ask Dax a question. I think this is what you were going to ask me. Were you going to ask me, you know, about my experiences when I was traded or let go?
Yes.
So I'm going to ask Dax. Dax, I want you to think about this while I tell you my quick kind of run through. In terms of, this is your what? Fifth, sixteenth. You're a true journeyman now, bro.
We're not on the fence anymore.
You're this is how it happens, dude. I mean, I was
I love
four
it.
Teams in my last 4 years.
I was
a journeyman.
Let's keep it going.
So I want to ask you, in terms of when you look back at all of them, you know, which ranking them 1 through 5, which one hurts the most? And where is Nashville in that order, and how you were handled, how it was handled. Now to answer your question, Gargs, it was different for me. I didn't have a lot of tough ones. You know, I didn't have a lot of tough let goes. They all kind of made sense to me. And I was fortunate enough to have coaches, you know, that were great, you know, that were great to me. And organizations that cared about me, that I really do think that they cared about me and valued me enough that they treated me in a good manner, except for Toronto. So like Galaxy, you know, Bruce Arena up front, he was just honest with me. You know, he was honest with me. He's like, you're going across the hall. We're trying to open up a roster spot for Ronaldinho. That's what he told me.
What can you say to that? What can you say to that?
Yeah. They were trying to make it happen.
Bluff.
He was probably lying, but still, it sounded cool, right?
You think?
And then I got over to Chivas, and Robin, after the preseason, Robin probably didn't want me as a player, whatever. But after preseason, he called me, he took me out to coffee. And he was like, this is the toughest thing that I've ever had to do. Like, and he sat face to face with me, man to man. Mm-hmm. I'll never say a bad thing about Robin because he did that, dude. He treated me like a person.
Gordo, we live in crazy times right now. What are things looking like in the real estate market?
Oh, Dax, you know that rates are always going to be the best with Synergy One Lending. And those are always going to fluctuate. But one thing that never fluctuates, that's the service you get with Erin from Bikes Realty Group. She is the number one agent I will refer all my clients to. She handles all the obstacles up front, really takes the stress out of any transaction and move that you have. Check out my girl, Erin Mishu with Fikes Realty Group at majorleague-realestate.com, 615-803-6322.
And he was like, here's the deal, you know, like here's why we're doing it. Sat with me 1v1 in a coffee shop. And I was like, I get it, man. And he was like, I feel like you're being too easy on me. Like, give it to me. Like, you know, and I was like, this is the business. Same as you. I was like, I understand what this is. You know, I'll make the best of my next opportunity. But at least he told me, you know, and he told me the reason. And he was upfront with me. Toronto. I got in a fight with the trainer. That was my fault, you know.
But, I knocked the guy out. Obviously, I was leaving.
Right. And then the rest of my moves were, I was old, dude. Like, they were, you know, I.
Transactional.
They were like, thank you. You know,
they were like, Gordo, you probably need a new hip like right now. You probably needed a new hip like 2 years ago. Yeah. And we're just doing you a solid. All right.
Right. So, you know, like with all those moves, I think, you know, I gained every team about 9 points with late goals. So it was a win-win.
Yeah.
You know, they paid me a little bit of money. I scored some late goals. So it wasn't bad for me.
Gordo, let me just say that is you're pulling at my emotions already in 2024. Like, where's the like dumb Neanderthal cracking jokes, dude. Like, you just made one of the best points that I think you've ever made on this pod, and one that I want to echo. Players value transparency and honesty no matter how much it hurts or no matter how much we disagree with it. Mm-hmm. I will tell you another story about a player who we're all friends with, but I don't want to name names because obviously don't want to blow up his spot. He told me a story about how he went into a club and he played really well for a couple of months, and he thought he was going to get a long-term contract and this, that, and the other. And at his end of the year meeting, the club said to him, it took 5 minutes. And they said, you were absolutely brilliant for us. We can't offer you a new deal because we have We have a younger player coming through that we just have to give minutes to, and you're going to be in the way of that. And no matter how much he disagreed with it, he respected the honesty. Yeah. He respected the fact that they didn't lie to him and make up some excuse. And it was just like, hey, that hurts, and I disagree with it, but fair. That's all I think players ask for is just that type of honesty, right? Like when Ben Olsen traded me from DC to New York, I'll never forget it. He called me for coffee and he sat me down and he goes, listen, when we first brought you here, I made you captain because I thought you were going to be here for 10 years and we were going to build the team around you and a bunch of other young guys. And we were going to bring DC back to the glory days. And it hasn't really gone the way that I think you wanted it to go. It hasn't really gone the way we wanted it to go. And part of that is my fault. He said this. He said, part of that is my fault. And he said, we have the opportunity to trade for one of the best players in the league in Dwayne DeRosario. And the only thing New York wants back is you. All right. And it might have been a little bit of money or considerations. I can't remember the exact trade. Sure. But he's like, we have an opportunity to get in my opinion, the best player in the league. I think it's a compliment to you that they want you, but we have to make the deal. And I said, fair enough. Like, fair enough. I totally get that. And Gordo, to answer your question, that's why the DC move for me, that one wasn't hard at all. That one was like, okay, a little bit surprising, a little bit blindsided. I wasn't married. I had no kids. I was me, myself, and I. And it was an easy move because I'm sorry, going from DC to New York, I had known New York was interested in me since my Dallas days. And I was pumped. I was like, yes, I get to go to New York City. I get to play with Thierry Henry. Are you kidding me? What a great move, right?
Yeah.
Dallas, me and Chelis Hinman weren't really the best of friends. And so even though I really loved that team, and I love the guys in that locker room, I was okay leaving Dallas as well. And I knew that was kind of going to happen just because of the relationship with the coach. So that one didn't sting as much. Chicago, a little bit, you know how it was, Gordo, a little bit of a shit show kind of towards the end of our time there. I think at the time I figured Basti was about to walk away. The situation with Panovich, the head coach, was like so up in the air. And so when they, you know, decided that I could choose kind of where I went, that one didn't hurt at all because it helped me get to Nashville. Red Bull easily by far was the worst one and the one that hurt the most. No question about it. That one was totally unexpected. Not totally unexpected because we had Tyler Adams and Sean Davis coming through, but I didn't think I was going to be the one to get traded. Right. So that one hurt a lot. And the Nashville one, the Nashville one is definitely second because that one, you know, it hurts too, but going back to it, this is the business, right? Like this is what you sign up for. And especially if you have a long career, it's very rare that you're a Graham Zusi, right? It's very rare that you're a Jordan Morris or a Christian Roldan. Look at how, like even a guy that we've had on this pod, a guy that many consider one of the best midfielder in MLS history, Darlington Nagbe's played for what, 3 teams now, 4 teams now? Mm-hmm. I don't know, right? Why would you ever trade a guy like that? It's just, it just happens that sometimes it doesn't work out for whatever reason, whether it's from the team's perspective or the player's perspective. The only thing we value is honesty, transparency. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But that's a good question, Gordo. Yeah. What a guy. Wow. Guards, can we give Gordo hosting responsibilities from now on?
No, absolutely. I mean, unless you want the pod to end, we can end the pod if you want.
Okay, I know.
Guards, what about you, bud?
I think closure is important. I think it helps with whatever the next step is. So I had some tough ones. I would say there was a couple. I think Colorado was really difficult for me because it was my first club and I loved the locker room. I loved all the people that were there.
You guys had a good locker room.
We had a great locker room, man. We had KB was my roommate. We lived together.
So why did that end?
You know, it was tough. I was at the end of the supplemental draft, so I was never expected to do anything for the Rapids. I worked my way into a starting position. I was in really, really good form. I was a big piece of that team my third year. I separated my shoulder, and I had an opportunity to come back and play and be in the mix for a couple of significant steps with national team opportunities And I elected not to have the surgery because the surgery would put me out for the rest of the season. And I came back and I tore my ACL. And I had double surgery. So I talked with them. And guys, this is me going from a junior developmental contract in year one to getting a raise to a senior developmental contract in year two.
12-5, 12-5. You swim it in it.
to year three being up to league minimum, thinking that I had hit the jackpot. So I'm thinking, okay, I am far surpassing my value to this roster and to this team. And I get hurt and I busted my ass. I was back on the field after an ACL and a shoulder reconstruction in 4.5 months in England playing against Arsenal's reserves. Like, just dumb shit, because I was such a competitor. And Clavijo told me, he's like, we want you to be our opening day starter. We know it's a tight turnaround, but that's what our expectations are for you. So, I was in the gym, no joke, 12 hours a day for 4.5 months. Theron Enns can co-sign on that because he was the guy that was with me for the majority of it, who I think is in Salt Lake now. But, you know, it was one that, like, didn't get handled all that well at the end of the day. And it was one that they rushed me to clear me for the opening day. And then they didn't dress me. And then they cut me the next day. And then they wouldn't let me go and sign with other clubs. So DC, San Jose, LA, a bunch of other clubs were all like, hey, let's get Gargs in here. And they said no. And they said no. So this is back in the day when. Because this is the way that MLS
was. You could get cut, but they still owned your rights?
Correct.
Oh my, come on. I can't even believe that was
true. You don't remember that?
I don't. Yeah. How is that even legal?
It was insane.
And that's dirty because preseason's over. Everybody's got their roster set.
Correct.
But Gargs was in demand.
So
they said, let us cut this guy. And then if other teams want him, they've got to pay us.
So Chivas ultimately bought me. They bought me for $50,000, more than I had made my entire career with the Colorado Rapids. That's what the Rapids were holding me hostage for. It was crazy. So that one was a tough one. That was probably the most emotional exit.
That is dirty.
Because I felt like I had given an awful lot to every bit of that. That was hard for me. The other ones, I loved my time in Toronto, but that one was that had run its course because they brought in Aaron Vinter and Bob DeClercq and Gordo, you were a part of that. You saw what that looked like, and it was bad by the end of it. Just what they did to the locker room. And then Chicago was tough to leave too. I had really, really
not being transparent in those guys in Toronto. And dude, that's all it boils down to. Those guys were so shady, dude, doing everything under the radar, telling you one thing to your face, and then just be straight up. You know, that's the best thing I like about Hard Knocks. Okay. When I watch Hard Knocks, the football show, it gives me joy when they let people go because they're just straight, they're to the point. They don't bullshit. It's just like, you know, the game, you're going to get picked up and this is why bang, you're out. And they're like,
well, Gordo, thanks. you can attest to this. You were also with me alongside me for some of my best years of my career in LA. Yeah. And Bruce told me what he thought of me every single day. He told me, he's like, Gargs, you suck. And I was like, I can't wait to prove you wrong every single day. I mean, it was motivating for me, but that's generally probably how he felt about me. He wanted to have
started
me every game because he also secretly loved me. And that was one of those things where it was like, okay, yeah, maybe I'm not Danny Alves, but I'll tell you what, I got the job done every single day. But that was also the way that
you're a poor man's Danny. You're a poor man's Danny Carvajal. Just a different Danny.
So yeah, I mean, finishing up, LA was tough to leave too. I didn't want to go there, but that was or I didn't want to leave there, but it was
tough ones. Those are tough ones.
Yeah, they weren't easy. So anyway, back to you, Dax. And I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but you do have an Atlanta United front office that clears out a ton of cap space and getting rid of Miles Robinson so they can sign you.
And the
fan base can't be more invigorated than to bring in Dax in place of Miles. That has nothing to do with it. But Atlanta in particular, I'm genuinely excited to see what they do because I have a very high opinion of Garth. I feel like Boca Negra,
not they, you guys, what you guys do, you have to start getting used to that. Not what they do.
I don't have to say that.
what you guys do. You're talking okay. to Dax. What you guys
okay? Do. That's fine. What you guys do in Atlanta? Again, I think Bocanegra's been there long enough to maybe have a different level of savvy the way that he's going to build this roster or support this roster. I wanted to ask you one thing. This is what I want. What's the one thing that sold you on going to Atlanta? If there was one tipping point.
The fact that what I saw the last 6 months of the season last year convinced me that this is going to be a very, very good team this year. And also the fact that I could help them and provide them something that I think they felt they were lacking last year, which was a little bit of veteran MLS experience and leadership. And mm-hmm. that's not to take anything away from Brad because you guys know as well as I do, Brad's fantastic. And he's a great leader. Mm-hmm. He's amazing in the locker room, but he's a goalkeeper. And not to pick on goalkeepers, but they are a
different breed. Well.
They're a different breed, man. And also when you're on the field and when you are in the heat of the moment, in the thick of battle, most of the game is played in midfield, right? It's played in between both boxes. And so it is hard for a goalkeeper who's a captain to relay information to field players or to a striker or to a midfielder or to talk about staying, like, be compact. Like, it just is, right? And so
yeah.
with Atlanta, there's zero doubts about the attacking talent that we have. None. You like that, Gordo? I said we.
Yes.
There you go. Thank you. Okay. Nailed it.
We got to get used to this.
There's no doubts about the attacking talent that we have. There's no doubts about chance creation, goal scoring, right? But again, like last year, I think it's pretty obvious for everyone to see, like, where they struggled was like when the games got tough and when the games were close and when the games were maybe on the road, like there was just a little bit of veteran experience and savvy and like maybe like a little bit of like cynicism that they lacked. Right. Because they had a lot of really good footballers. They had a lot of soccer players who wanted to play pretty soccer all the time. And they still do. But now I think they're starting to shift to like, hey, maybe. And this is funny because like it just happens to be another redhead. But like, hey, maybe we need another Jeff Lorenzo.
I was just going to say maybe,
right?
And
I'm no Jeff Lorenzo, right? I can't recreate the stuff that guy did because he was a proper hard man. But like. There's only a handful of you left in the league.
True,
but what guys like him, what guys like Parkey, Michael Parkhurst brought like on the yep. field. That I mean, Dan, you know as well as I do, that was such a massive contribution to why they won MLS Cup in 2018.
Yes, that's what I was
dude, 100%.
And so
their balance was pretty impressive.
Impressive. And so Atlanta, like we have the talent. There's no doubt about that. Now mm-hmm. you add a little bit of leadership, you add a little bit of experience, you add a little bit of like a little bit of veteran know-how and feel for the game. And like, look, guys, I'm so excited about going to Atlanta because I'm telling you right now, I feel like a rookie. I feel like a uh-huh. rookie because in yeah. my mind, I'm starting at the bottom of the totem pole. Forget about my longevity. Forget about the career I've had. I feel like I'm going to Atlanta and I've got to prove to every single guy in that locker room, every single coach, every single fan, what I'm all about, right? Because mm-hmm. in Nashville, like, and I have to accept responsibility for this. Maybe I don't think I did, but maybe I got a little bit complacent. Maybe I knew, hey, I'm well established in this team. I'm a well established voice in this locker room. I've proven it day in, day out. Like maybe I can take a playoff in training every now and then. I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't do that. I can't do that mm-hmm. going to a new team, trying to impress a new coach, a new set of fans, a new group of players. Right? Like I feel like a rookie because I feel like the expectation is for me to play not a lot of minutes, and that's totally fine because I want to prove everyone wrong. Like I want to play as much as I possibly can, even if the players they bring in are absolute killers and studs. And I'm, you know, I think they just announced today they signed a new center back, right? Mm-hmm. They've got, I think, a couple other moves in the pipeline. Like, awesome. The better the player that comes in, the better it is for the team and the better it is for me because my mindset and the way I look at Atlanta United is that if I'm on the bench, if there are players so much better than me that they're keeping me off the field, then that team must be really, really good. And I have to have mm-hmm. that mindset in order to stay motivated. And so, yeah, yeah. I'm really excited, Dan. Really excited.
Dax, I want to touch on that really quick, dude. And I've been talking to this. We got a few guys, ex players that get together. We just talk about because post career is tough, dude. This transition's tough mentally, all that stuff. I'm telling you, you're never going to feel this excitement ever again.
Yeah.
You're not. You're not.
I get it.
I'm not kidding. That's not like.
I love it. Like, do the Billy Madison thing where you grab my cheeks and you say, "Never say that again. Never leave."
Stay young. No, I'm saying you're never gonna feel this. In just a brief thing, like I have felt. I've told my friends in the neighborhood. You guys know that I
got the neighborhood dads.
Yeah, the neighborhood dads, right?
The ones that are growing out partial mustaches.
Yeah, that do a great job making me feel so ordinary, right? Like that I've always been ordinary. And like I feel like I need to move. Like I need to go somewhere. I bounced around every couple of years into a new setting, a new challenge, and new friends that were fun, you know, like
it forces you to be your best. New, better version of yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You know, that's what I feel about. Like. And this is it, dude, like bottle that shit up because it'll never happen again, except if you retire this year and then play again and then retire and then play again. Like I did, you know, that's why I kept doing it. But like, it's a good feeling to have, dude. It's exciting, dude. And you're going to an exciting place.
Buddy,
you might get your first ring. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, but that's another reason why I went there is because look, there was peripheral interest from other teams in the league, right? Like I'll be honest, like I don't want to. There were some teams out there that I was like, I would never play there. You know what I mean? Like I just wouldn't go there. I would rather retire. But then there were other teams that were interested where I was like, I would definitely consider going there. But then when it's Atlanta, from my perspective, it's a little bit different, right? Like to me, the free agency tiers, it's like you have like five teams, right? You have like LAFC, Seattle Sounders, Atlanta United, and to a certain extent now, FC Cincinnati, right? Even like Columbus, you put that up there, like places where like you go and you know that like you're going to be on a good team. You're going to be on a team that's competing and you're going to be in a fun environment. Like Atlanta United for me was like, boom, instantly at the top of the list. And so I'm excited, man. I feel like a little kid again. I feel like a rookie. I got to prove myself all over again. And yeah, you're right, Gordo. You're absolutely right. Like, trying to get a ring and trying to be on a team that's good enough to get a ring, like that absolutely factored into my decision. And also, guys, like, I'm not going to lie, like getting closer to family down in Florida is also like another factor, right? Like my being close to my parents, they're getting up there in age, like being able to see them, having them be around the grandkids, like that it's hard to replicate that. And so there was so many factors that just said Atlanta was right, Dan. Like if it was like one, you know, it's hard to narrow just one down, right? There was just so much excitement, I think, from both sides to try to get a deal done. And I'm really happy that we did. So I can't wait to get started. I leave tomorrow to drive down to Atlanta and start the preseason grind again. Wow. You know, my wife, Jen, the Saint, my wife, she's about to be stuck with two dogs and two kids. You guys know, knows how that goes.
Yeah. Gordo, how many days could you get through in the preseason grind today? If you were getting in your car to drive to Atlanta, how many days could you make it through? Should we scale it back to hours?
I would say like 5 minutes. However, you know, like you surprise yourself, right? Because in 2018, I had back surgery on November 21st, I think. And I wasn't supposed to run for 12 weeks. Okay. Not run, not take a jogging step. And Chicago Fire called me and I was negotiating with Nelson, right? But I wasn't telling him that I had back surgery. I was like, yeah, I'm healthy. I'm great. You know, it was just like biding my time, you know, and I was trying to get through not going to preseason. And Dax knows this. And he's like, this is classic, dude. Nelson says, listen, we know who you are, you know. We want you. This is less about us wanting you. It's about you getting to know Pano and seeing if you could, you know, play under Pano, get to know him. And I was like, nah, I don't need to. He's like, yeah, you do. He's like, you need to come out to
Florida,
Bradenton. So I go out there
without a contract.
Without a contract and with just having back surgery 9 weeks into a 12-week like non-running protocol. And I go out there and he's like, he's not going to make you play. You're just going to go out there and be with the team. I go out there the first day. I'm taking off my clothes in the locker room. I got like a pudgy belly. I haven't worked out. I'm not fit. And I go out there and he's like, hey, you want to join in? Like they're doing possession. And I'm like, how do I play this? You know, I'll be neutral. And I went out there and just popping the ball around, just absolute class. They signed me because of that day. And I wasn't even supposed to run. And I went out there and I earned a contract with no fitness. So, you know, to answer your question, zero, less than 5 minutes, but I might surprise myself.
That's brilliant. I remember that like it was yesterday.
Dax, you're gonna make it longer than that. That's for sure. So we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about you. But let's put a bow on this one, boys and girls. That's a good entry back into 2024. Or kicking us off. Dax is on his way to Atlanta. Gordo's in a new studio. We can actually hear him still late for his appointments, but that's okay.
Guys, we'll be in a new studio as well. I'm giving Gordo crap about his studio change. This is the last time you're going to see this studio, this beautiful dark wall and this.
Where are you going to be? You're going to be in.
I might be in a hotel room. I'll be in a hotel room somewhere.
You need a new mortgage?
I sure don't.
You're gonna buy a house
not with you. I'm shopping around for better rates.
No, you're not.
Where are you going, Dax? You going Buckhead? Is that where we're looking?
I think we found a place in Brookhaven. Really excited.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, really excited.
Of course,
Jen's
got you all dialed in before you get there.
Yeah, sure. She tells me where to go. She's telling me where the address is. Right. I'm going to take advantage of the hotel for a little bit.
Dude, you got to check out Lila's and Umi. Umi Sushi is next level.
Guards, what's the place called where it's something Hideaway? We went there. It was hilarious. It's like Johnny's Hideaway or something like that. You know what I'm talking about, Gargs? I don't know. But anyways, we went there after one game. I forgot what it was. I forgot why we were there, why we were in Atlanta. But what a place. Wow.
We need to, put it up on social and ask what the Hideaway place is in Atlanta. So
different
Dax
level.
Get back there.
Different level.
Magic City? That one?
Magic City? That sounds like a place I've been before.
No, you're talking about, are you talking about the Claremont Lounge?
No.
Dude, the Claremont Lounge is... you have to go to the Claremont Lounge if you haven't been there. That's an Atlanta institution, and that is a night out, and that is fun. Any of these guys will know where to direct you, but that's a good one. I need to tell you guys my story about Magic City and 2 Chainz at the All-Star game that was in Atlanta. But that's for another day. But that is
a cliffhanger?
One of the best stories I have in my arsenal. It's really good. But we're going to end it there, and maybe we'll tell that one on the next episode of Major League Journeyman. Thanks for tuning in. Had a blast seeing you boys, and I'm looking forward to the next one already. So we're going to follow along with this bouncing free agency ball, because there are a lot of moves that are happening in MLS. I think the next recap, we need to go through rundown, maybe rate some of these moves. Also, what is there, like 12 new coaches in MLS? Is that what the number's up to? It's climbing. It is climbing. All right, we'll catch you out there.